The following previews are of graphic audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
The First Mountain Man 2, Blood on the Divide.
Preacher ducked down and took shelter behind one of the wells the men had dug. He looked at the boy holding the hammer's reins.
Stay in the stable, lad. If you can shoot, there's a brace of pistols on the saddle.
You want me to shoot a man?
Forget it! Pilgrims, they're gonna be the death of me yet.
When Preacher chances upon a new settlement, just as the notorious Pardee brothers are about to attack it, a chain of events unfolds that puts the mountain man smack in the middle of a nefarious plot fashioned by human vultures who prey on innocent pilgrims. A plot Preacher will risk his life to destroy.
Here! God damn it! Go on! Ha! Go! Get!
Redborn Pardee and his brothers ran off bloated carrion birds. The birds didn't go far from their snack. They waited and watched patiently. Malachi stood in the middle of the carnage and looked slowly all about him.
Never had a chance. Injun snuck up on them and finished them.
Something's wrong with this. I don't think this was done by Injuns.
How come you say that, Malachi? What else could it have been? Them's arrows, ain't they?
I know they're arrows, Henry. I can see that. But something's mighty wrong here. Mighty wrong. It's just, I can't put my finger on it.
Look at this. Them Injuns, if it was Injuns, was either drunk or it's a setup. A blind man can follow this trail.
Malachi nodded his head in agreement, thinking that he was very grateful to at least have one brother with sense enough to come in out of the rain.
What's all this scribbling on this here paper?
Malachi took the note from the branch and slowly read the words. His mouth dropped wide open. He balled up the note and threw it to the ground, then jumped up and down on it. It had been unsigned, but he knew who wrote it.
Nobody calls me a stupid son of a bitch! God damn that preacher!
Preacher?
Yeah, preacher. He read that note. I know it was him.
Now let's don't take no chances, Malachi. Let's call in the whole bunch and take off after him. We try to go this alone, and he'll pick us off one by one.
All right. Put out the call, brother. Sounded long. We got to get him before he gets us.
My name is Sutherland. Mr. Sutherland to you.
Your name might be Sutherland, but it'll be a cold day in hell before I call the likes of you, mister.
This bastard has burned us out and hunted us like wild animals. No more. I've taken all of this. I'm going to take.
Dirk rolled from cover and dashed to the timber, running in a zigzag motion. Preacher held his fire and let him come on.
Dirk's right. I'm going up the other side of the hill.
Preacher put a ball through Lester's brisket that sent him rolling back down the slope. Preacher started a huge rock crashing down the hill. The horses bolted, running in all directions. The man jumped up and tried to grab the reins of his horse.
Don't miss one thrilling minute of frontier action in The First Mountain Man 2, Blood on the Divide.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
What exactly did you whisk me here for, Sir Ian?
Fair enough question. Permit me to answer with one. How would you like to save the world?
At the request of world-famous rock star and global humanitarian Sir Ian Moran, Anya Creed is flown to the jungles of Brazil to seek the secrets of a legendary lost civilization.
We're trying to track down reports that there might be a settlement derived from a quilombo far up the Amazon, which has declined to join Brazil, or perhaps the modern world.
Do you think that's really possible in today's world? With airplanes and satellites and everywhere? Wouldn't it turn up on Google Earth?
We aim to find out.
As Anya's journey takes her up the Amazon and into the nightmare world of the rainforest, the lines between reality and fantasy become more and more blurred, and the denizens of the jungle get more and more dangerous.
Oh, hostile! Open fire! Open fire!
This is a bad place. We better pray your man Moran gets plenty of reinforcements into us pretty quick, like he said he would.
Unwittingly, Anya finds herself embroiled in an international struggle for technology,
power and even immortality. But who is the enemy and who the ally?
You have been misled, lied to at every turn.
Even now, if you look deep into your heart, you can see the truth.
You've put the power of the ages into these hands.
I have capabilities you've never dreamed of.
So have I, my dear.
Oh!
Rogue Angel Number 8, Secrets of the Slaves.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Cecil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, David Coyne, Karen Carbone, Michael Glenn, Elliot Dash, Kate Torrey, Tim Carlin, James Lewis, Ken Jackson, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands Number 28, Emerald Fire. The sick darkness was passing. Ryan Cotter steadied his breathing, conscious that the jump had been one of the easiest that he could remember. There had been none of the hideous, gibbering dreams that sometimes swam out of the black horror of a bad jump. He felt slightly sick. There was a throbbing pressure behind his eye, and his stomach felt as though it had gone 10 rounds with a rabid mule.
Fire blast.
Ryan was conscious that his hand was still being gripped by Christy Roth. That in itself was a sign that the Mattrans unit had functioned well. All he needed to know now was whether everyone was all right and where the jump had taken them. He breathed in slowly, aware that the air felt very hot and moist and green. Ryan opened his eye. When civilization was blown apart in the nuclear holocaust of 2001, the world had been geared for all kinds of military action. Most of it supposed to be top secret at the highest level. But many people had heard about the totality concept, the coverall policy that ranged from time travel to self-supporting space stations packed with laser-guided hardware. One of the subsections of the concept was called Operation Kronos, which was concentrating on the largely doomed research into time traveling, or trawling, as it had become known. The idea of pulling targets from the past or pushing them into the future was interesting, but in practice, there were less than a handful of successes. One of them, Dr. Theophilus Tanner, was recovering in the Mattrans chamber across from Ryan Cotter. The matter transmitter had been developed in a laboratory complex in Maryland and was one of the limited successes of the totality concept. The Mattrans units were often an integral part of the secret military complexes, known as redoubts, hastily and secretly built all across the United States, with a few elsewhere in the world. These gateways, as they were called, were developed in those paranoid days that closed the 20th century and made it possible for people to be sent instantly from one location to another.
How are you feeling, Doc?
The old man ran a hand across his face, smiling and showing his oddly perfect set of gleaming teeth. His light blue eyes twinkled at Ryan.
Upon my soul, dear friend, relative to a rare good day, then this is still somewhat less than adequate. However, compared to an average Metrans jump,